The first reading is from Psalm 96. O sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. The word of the Lord.
The second reading is from Colossians 3, beginning in the 11th verse. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven to you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The word of the Lord.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
My dear friends in Christ, the holy gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
And Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Oh, how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. The Gospel of the Lord.
Friends, let's pray together. Father, our hearts are full of thankfulness for your faithfulness this morning. Will you be among us? Would you open our ears and our minds and our hearts to all that you would have for us through the preaching of your word this morning? May you take your word and plant it deep into our hearts so that we may always follow you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, you may be seated. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Friends, there is no better way for me to begin my ministry among you than by proclaiming to you that Jesus is Lord. The fact that Jesus is Lord, that is the heart of the gospel of our salvation. That Jesus is Lord, that's the foundation for our entire life together. And the truth that Jesus is Lord, that's the message that we are to proclaim in the power of the Spirit as the Spirit sends us out on mission. Jesus is Lord. The Dutch theologian Abraham Kuyper, he once said this. He said, "There is not a square inch in the whole of human existence over which Christ does not cry, 'Mine.'" That means the earth is his, all that is in it. You know what that also means? It means that Christ's church is his, that both you and I, we belong to God. He is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, as the psalmist tells us. And here's a wonderful truth about that. That which is his, he cares for, he provides for, he protects, and he wants to see it flourish, all for his glory. Friends, that's exactly what God has done for both you and I over the last several years. See, the Lord has been shepherding us and guiding us down separate paths that we didn't really realize until recently were about to intersect and bring us to this very day. And friends, I'm really excited for the Lord's leading. And I know there's a lot of excitement about this next season and this next chapter that we're about to move into. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 tells us this. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Our great shepherd certainly has wonderful things in store for us, for his glory together. And I'm confident that he's going to reveal those to us in his perfect timing. He's going to reveal that in his perfect timing. But before we get there, I want to encourage us to stop and remember and even mark today as what's called an Ebenezer. An Ebenezer. That comes from 1 Samuel chapter 7. See, what happened was after the Lord had secured an impossible victory for Israel, the prophet Samuel, he takes a stone and he sets it up. And he calls the stone an Ebenezer, which means a stone of help. And what he says is, "Thus far, the Lord has been our help. Thus far, the Lord has been with us." You see, when we set up Ebenezers, these stones of help in our life, well, they celebrate the fact that God is with us. They celebrate the fact that God is for us, that God is the one who is guiding us, and that God is the one who has brought us to this place that he had prepared already before us. He had already prepared before the creation of the universe, beforehand. The point of that is for us to remember that God is always the one that's going before us. God always goes before us. And all we have to do is just to simply trust and follow where he leads. So that when we get there, we know that without a doubt, It was not in our power, but it was solely God who brought us to where we are. And we can say with the words of Psalm 126, verse 3, which is one of my favorite verses, "The Lord has done great things for us. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy." And so by marking today as this Ebenezer, what we're doing is we're looking back and remembering the faithfulness of God in our lives. And here's the exciting thing. Remember, Scripture tells us that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our God doesn't change. That means that if he's been faithful to us in the past, he's going to be faithful to us in the future. So we can take all of our hopes and dreams and everything that he has for us, we can give it over to him in hope and trust that he's going to be the one to bring it to completion. Now, friends, obviously it's going to take years for us to talk about all the ways that the Lord has been faithful to us over the last several years. So this morning, I just simply want to talk about one way. And the one way I want to talk about is the way that God has poured his goodness upon us through his people. See, that's one of the ways that God is faithful to us, is he works for our good through his people. And so this morning, there's a lot of people that I'm grateful for. People like Jay and Kyle and Randy and Jerry and Fred. These are names of people who you may never meet. But they are people who in my life have been faithful servants in the Lord, who have raised me up in the faith. These are people whose ministries will be present in my own ministry among you. And friends, I know there are many people here at Christ Church whom the Lord has used in your life over the last year. People like Jim and Jeff and Paul and Julia and Joshua, your search committee, your leadership team, the many of you who have stepped up in countless ways to serve God by serving his church, people whose names I don't know yet. But all of these people are just signs of God's provision and God's protection among us and for us. See, God never leaves us stranded. That's the great thing about God. He never leaves us stranded. And because of that truth, we can give thanks to God for all the years that Michael Guernsey served you and shepherded you. And at the same time, we can give thanks for his new role, and we can bless him and bless his new church. Friends, we're just all simply laborers in the Lord's vineyard. We're all just simply laborers in the Lord's vineyard. And so if the Lord sees that it's right and good for him to move his laborers around to serve in other parts of his vineyard, then we give thanks for that because we know that it is good and right. Well, of course, the Lord did not leave you stranded because he gave you Bishop Thad. And what a gift that has been to you, I know. Let me tell you a story. So when it was announced that I was going to be your next pastor, I started getting a lot of texts and emails and phone calls from friends, especially from fellow priests across the Anglican Church. And, you know, people saying congratulations and whatnot. But kind of jokingly, there was this, the question that was always asked in various ways was this, something like this. "So, are you worried about following Thad in the pulpit?" Well, all joking aside, here's how I would seriously answer that question. It is an honor to follow Bishop Thad in this pulpit because I know that any church that has been shepherded by Thad Barnum, even for a short time, is a church that has been steeped in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a church that has heard the word boldly and rightly preached. It's a church who has learned to listen to the Holy Spirit and is ready to follow the Spirit out on mission. And I know that any church that has been shepherded by Bishop Thad is a church whose soul has been well cared for. And the reason I know that is because Thad has walked with me and shepherded my own soul for many years. for many years. And so we can both give thanks to Bishop Thad for the gift that he has been from God to all of us. But you know, God has ministered to us both, not just through Bishop Thad, but also through Bishop David. So you know the story that it was the Spirit working through Bishop David to plant Christ Church, and that the church grew because of the missional vision of connecting people to God and to each other that he gave to David. Most of you know that story. But what you might not know is that Bishop David was also there at the beginning of my own ministry. David ordained me as a deacon. He ordained me as a priest. And David has encouraged me and guided me over the years, not just as an ecclesial authority and as a bishop, but also as a spiritual mentor and as a friend. My goodness, friends, it is an honor to walk in these men's footsteps. It is a high honor. They are proof that God has cared for us and that God has cared for us, his people, through his people. But we need to remember that all of these men and women are simply just servants of the Lord. The Apostle Paul says this, writing to the church in Corinth. He says it this way: "What then is Apollos? What then is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but it was God who gave the growth. So neither he nor plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor." And then he says this: "For we are fellow workers," and he says, "and you are God's field. You are God's building." You see, it's through these people that we look back at God's faithfulness in order that we might look forward to God's continued faithfulness. Like I said earlier, Jesus doesn't change, and so we look back with gratitude, knowing that everything is a gift from him, and we know that everything that we're going to experience going forward will also be a gift from him. Now, since I just spent a couple minutes looking back, I want to ask this question: what does this mean for us as Christ Church as we look forward? What does this mean? Well, what I can tell you today is that over the coming weeks and the coming months, what we're going to do is we're going to seek the face of God together in prayer. And we're going to listen to the Holy Spirit together. And as we do, I'm confident that the full answer to that question is going to be given to us. But what I'm certain of today at this moment is that we're going to press in as Christ Church to the original vision that was given to Christ Church, to connect to Jesus Christ, to connect to one another, and to connect to God's work in the world. I'm certain of that. Because you see, throughout the whole search process, I heard loud and clearly that there's a real desire in this community to connect deeply to Jesus Christ, to connect deeply to one another in new and deeper ways. And I've seen the desire that you have to follow the Holy Spirit out on mission in order to connect others to Jesus and to his people. Friends, these are the very things that drew my own heart to yours, because the things that you value in life and ministry are the same things that I value in life and ministry. Now, at the moment, I can't spell out all the details yet. I don't know what it's all going to look like. It will look different than it has in the past, but we need to remember that it's the past that guides us into the future. And so we look forward in hope. And so with the time that I have left, I want to share with you just a couple quick biblical truths that I think will guide our path and will illuminate our way. If you want to turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, that's the New Testament passage that we read just a minute ago, particularly in verse 14 through 17, I believe the Apostle Paul, he lays out for us exactly how it is that we can connect to Jesus and to each other more deeply. So in Colossians chapter 3, particularly verse 14, he says this: "Put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. It is this peace that comes only from Jesus that connects us to one another in love. Did you know that's why every week in the liturgy we pass the peace and we say, "The peace of the Lord be with you"? It reminds us that we find unity only in Jesus, and that we have peace solely on the basis of what Christ did for us on his peacemaking cross. Peace is the lifeblood of the church. In Greek, the word for peace carries this connotation for harmony or tranquility. It's related to the Hebrew word for shalom. And shalom is the idea that all things are set right, that all things are as God intended them and created them to be. Think about that for a second as it applies to the church. When the peace of Christ, who is our Lord, is the ruling authority in our hearts, then all things are set right. All things are working perfectly as it should be. And that's a beautiful sight. It's the peace of Christ that makes the church beautiful. It's the peace of Christ that makes the church attractive. And it is the peace of Christ that makes the church be who God has created her to be. That's why so much of the New Testament warns us against divisions. The church is the body of Christ, and bodies are meant to be connected. I apologize in advance for the graphic illustration, but have you ever seen a disconnected body? As we like to say in the South, it ain't pretty. It's very ineffective. Jesus calls his church to something much higher. Jesus calls his church to something much higher. He calls us to set aside all of our petty divisions. He calls us to forgive each other when we're wrong. In Romans, and I love this, in Romans he calls us to outdo one another in showing honor to one another. And all throughout the New Testament, he calls us to love one another. And you know what happens when the peace of Christ rules in our hearts and reigns in our church? The world sees it. The world sees it. When we as Christ's church are connected to each other in peace, that's our witness to a disconnected world. I don't know if you've noticed, but there is a world out there that is increasingly becoming disconnected, even ironically so in this whole age of social media. Friends, loneliness is an epidemic. Sometimes it's silent, sometimes it's not so silent. And my prayer for Christ Church is that we would be a church and we would be a place where people can turn to find a refuge from the loneliness that exists in the world. And I know for a fact that when the peace of Christ rules in our heart, that we can become that place because that's who God has created us to be. So how do we make that happen? Well, Paul goes on and he says this. He says, verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual psalms with thankfulness in your hearts. And whatever you do in word and deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him." We let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts by letting the word of Christ richly dwell in us. As I said earlier, peace, the peace only exists between us, and it can only exist because of the cross. On the cross, Christ made peace between us and God, because when we were in our sin, we were strangers and we were enemies. But it's because of Christ's work on the cross that we became friends and even children. When we were dead, Christ made us alive because he connected us to God. The cross is the great connecting point between humanity and divinity, and the great need in our lives is for us to connect more deeply with Jesus Christ. So where do we turn to find connection with Christ? We turn to his written word. See, it's only in scriptures that we find Christ. John 5:39. Jesus is talking with a group of Pharisees and he says, "You search the scriptures daily because in them you think that you find life, but you fail to see that they all speak about me." And then later, Peter's going to say to Jesus, he says, Lord, where are we going to turn to? You have the words of life. And so it's my hope and my goal that in this next season of ministry together, friends, that we would become a people of the word, that we would continue to become a people of the word, people who are constantly in the scriptures, both individually and corporately, searching for the words of life. But the word of Christ can't dwell in us if we're not saturating our lives with the truth of Jesus Christ, which is found only in scripture. Hebrews 4:12, he says this, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit." This is the word that we are called to let dwell in us. And you know, we do that not just by reading the word, but as Paul goes on to say, we do that by speaking the word, even singing the word, singing it to each other. And so friends, when we celebrate together, we sing the words of Christ. When we walk together through times of suffering, we read together to each other the comforting words of Christ. When we are in doubt, we speak the truth of the word of Christ to each other. When we instruct each other, we speak to each other the guiding word of Christ. And when we face death, we proclaim the life-giving word of Christ. So friends, if we truly want to connect with Christ, then we must let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. Dwell in us, that is, take up permanent residence in our lives. Friends, I get really excited about this. I really do. And the reason I get excited about this is because what we're talking about this morning is we're talking about kingdom life. We're talking about kingdom life. What it looks like to live under the authority of Jesus, who is Lord. What it looks like to live under the authority of the word of Christ, which connects us to God and brings about the peace of Christ, which connects us to each other. That's what it looks like to live as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Or in other words, the reign of Christ. That where Jesus is Lord. See, the gospel passage we read just a little bit ago, he said, "Seek first the kingdom." Seek the kingdom of God. Verse 32, he'll go on and he says, Jesus himself says that it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. This is what he wants for us. In other words, God wants to give us the realities that are true when Jesus is Lord. Isn't that an amazing gift? Isn't that an amazing gift? Do you realize that the church is the place where these realities are meant to be experienced? Each week we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." See, our life together is meant to be a foretaste of what it looks like when Jesus is Lord. And here's the truth for us this morning. Did you realize that in the kingdom of God, there are no disconnected people? When Jesus is Lord, those who are disconnected become connected. That's what it looks like when Jesus is Lord. God created humanity for relationship, and he's working among us to overcome all of those things that keep us from being connected to him. And this is how we connect with God's work in the world. We go out and we proclaim that Jesus is Lord, and we invite those who are disconnected into a place where they can connect with true and unending life. Now, friends, there's a lot more that needs to be said. There's a lot more that needs to be clarified. And friends, over the next coming weeks and months, we're going to press into some of these truths that I presented to you this morning. But as we close, I just simply want to say this. I am so, so grateful to God for leading me and my family from Charlotte here to Murrells Inlet to become part of your family so that we can go out together and proclaim that Jesus is Lord. And so, friends, I would ask that you would pray for me. You would continue to pray for me as I take up a mantle that has been carried by faithful men who have served before me. And I would ask that in this next season that we would come together and we would pray together, seeking the Lord's face together and reminding each other that our God is faithful.